Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of A Blessing in Divorce. And today I want to talk to you about healing. Healing from the pain that we feel when we're going through something challenging in our life, like divorce, separation, grief, loss, you know, all the things that come with life and the human experience sometimes. And more specifically, I want to get into some of the wounds that we tend to experience when we're going through this. So let's get into this. But I also want to just be clear that I want to talk about the steps that we can take to heal, to truly heal and move forward. So if you're ready to get into that with me, I am looking forward to having this conversation with you. You know, sometimes I feel like I shouldn't talk about the pain because in a way, by talking about it, we focus on it and we'll focus on growth and then we keep it alive. But I also know that it is alive and well and being felt very strongly by you. And so in order to get over it, so to speak, and I don't mean to say that in any kind of a, you know, get over it way, just in order for us to move forward, honestly, we have to feel it first. We have to get a hold of the feeling and what the pain is or where it comes from so that we can then release it or heal it or do what we need to do so that we can get on with our lives. And that's ultimately what we all want to do. After all, we don't want to feel like this, right? So let's do this, or let's find a constructive way to deal with and understand what we're feeling so we can get let go of feeling this way. You know, one of the traumas or challenges that I've dealt with in my personal life is what has inspired this episode to be very vulnerable and open with you. And it is an abandonment wound that I have that sits very deeply embedded in me and shows up in all kinds of different ways in all kinds of relationships, not just in my divorce, but it shows up in other areas as well. And I understand that, you know, by me sharing some of this with you in a more open way, I think it might help you also understand that you're not alone and that a lot of the pain that we're dealing with when we go through something like divorce is a deeper, more personal pain. And the good part about that is that it gives us an opportunity to heal it. And we can stop feeling that our healing is kind of in the hands of this other person who has caused it, if that makes sense. I want to put the power or the healing back in your hands, because that is where it belongs. And I know that that's where it is. And that's the healing journey that I'm on as well. So join me for this brand new episode and very important and vulnerable conversation about your healing, my healing journey. And regardless of whether it is from your divorce, your childhood, from a work relationship or any other friendship relationship or whatever else is going on in your life, I think you're going to find that this conversation applies to everyone. So this episode, I'm doing something a little bit new today, and this episode here is brought to you by a brand new course or program that I've created inside the Separation Club, and it's called The Healing Heart. I know that the only way to truly heal from the pain we're feeling so deeply when going through a breakup or a loss or other relational challenges in life is to truly understand not only the pain of that particular break, but also the reason for the pain or the deeper reason for the pain and how it really got there. Now, I will preface this by saying I'm not a therapist and this is not going to be a therapy session, but in my coaching experience and in my personal experience, I have discovered that when we can understand and see the pain, we can also heal from it and do the things, and I can give you the tools to move forward from it and heal it. So that's what I want to get into with you today. I'm a very forward-thinking person. And when I teach courses and coach people through all of this, I focus on what can be done once we have understood what is happening inside us. So too often the understanding part gets overlooked. And there's so much focus on the actual, you know, events that triggered this pain again. We might want to try and understand why the other person did what they did. But if we don't also take the time to understand our own choices, our reactions, and our actions, then we're not learning anything that will move us forward, because we're only focusing on the past. When we're thinking about the pain, we're thinking in the past. So I'm going to do what I do best, and that is to guide you and teach you as I teach women through this journey of self-discovery. It is the very journey that I went on after my divorce, and also one I still repeat as things come up in my life. Things that hurt and grab a hold of us in a way that can feel truly crushing, right? So this is for you if you are ready to take action towards letting go and moving forward. And this is for those of you who are ready to do something about your current state of mind and being. And for those of you who are truly ready to do so in a way that is compassionate, self-compassionate, patient, and loving of yourself. I will guide you on this journey in a way that makes it easy to understand your feelings and helps you gain clarity on your questions that need answers. I will help you find those answers and guide you to find them within yourself, because we are done giving our power away to others and letting them tell the story for us. Like, so done with that, right? You are now the story holder and the storyteller. And we are telling one that is truthful, vulnerable, honest, and we're doing it in the way that is healing and self-compassionate. I think of self-compassion as our ability to sit with ourselves and accept who we are, and also to love ourselves for being that person. We see the flaws, we see the fall downs, the face plants, and we also see our ability to stand back up. And we are able and willing to sit with ourselves as we go through all of those dips and valleys and peaks and whatever, right? So often the conversation ends up around, you know, becoming a better version of yourself. And I guess, you know, that's okay. And if that wording resonates with you, that's fine. But the way I see it is not so much about becoming better as it is about choosing a stronger, more resilient and loving version of yourself to come forward, and letting that more scared and fearful and insecure part of you sit down for a bit and have a rest, to let her know that you've got this now. Right? She doesn't have to step in to protect anymore, because you're going to be okay. So I invite you to join me on a journey of self-discovery and healing, gaining clarity and purpose along the way. This is the journey of you becoming the youest version of you, the highest, the most brightest, the most compassionate and kindest version of you, the really bright and shiny you, the strong, capable, resourceful, purposeful, loving, kind, and lovable you. That's who we are reaching for in healing the heart. If this calls to you, then once this episode is over, you can head into the show notes. Don't do it before, obviously, to click on the link for this upcoming journey that is starting on May 13th. I am really looking forward to doing this work with you. We're both so worthy of this journey, and it's necessary. I know I need it, and therefore I'm sure you need it as well. We all do. And it's even a good reminder as we have kind of come to the other side of something. It is the group, the concept of a group, a coaching group, that really creates the magic. I am only here to create the platform and or provide the platform and the context. And as you share yourself and your stories and your vulnerability with others, you will experience your own and each other's transformations. And that, my friend, is an experience worth having regardless of anything else. And here it comes in this beautiful package of love and learning and guidance and divine sisterhood and community. We are doing this together. So remember to check out the link for Healing the Heart in the show notes, and I will see you on May 13th for a 6-week healing and explorative self-discovery journey together. It's time to become curious about who you are capable of being. So now it's time to dive into our episode, where I'll be talking a little bit about the steps that we'll be taking in Heal the Heart course. But more importantly, I want to give you some tools today to get your healing journey started. So join me. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of A Blessing in Divorce. I am so grateful to be allowed into your headset and day today. My name is Elizabeth, and I'm the host of this podcast and the owner and founder of The Separation Club, which is the club you never wanted to be part of, but the best club to be in if you're going through separation and divorce. Here, we talk about how to heal, move forward, and find love if you're so inclined. Also, motherhood through divorce, finding yourself, and creating the life you deserve. Our tools are community, sisterhood, honesty, vulnerability, spirituality, and coaching. And that's when we aren't talking to our experts. I'm also a divorced mother of four adult sons, remarried, and a stepmom to three. So we will be talking about everything that goes with all of that here. If you are recently separated, thinking of separating, divorcing, or even beyond your divorce, but still feeling it, then this is the podcast for you. Welcome back. You know, in order for us to understand or to be able to jump on basically our healing journey, it is really important that we understand the source of our pain. And like I said, I'm not a therapist and I'm not going to be therapizing on this. And that's the work that you can do with your therapist to really understand the pain. What I'd like to show you is the connection and how it keeps showing up in our lives. So a lot of the work that I do with my coaching clients, the one-on-one clients, when I first, start working with them, is I try to identify that origin wound. And depending on the nature of it, I might recommend that she also goes and works with a therapist while she's working with me. Because the work that I do is about moving her forward and giving her steps and tools as she's understanding, you know, things that she can do to feel better and to start moving forward and to start identifying the problem thinking, if you will. But sometimes you need the deeper work. So that is my disclaimer. And I just want to be clear on that again as I get into this. What I'd like to do today is take you through the six steps that I have included in Healing the Heart, the program that I talked about earlier. And I just want to go through them briefly with you. So I know this is where my colleagues say to me, like, you're giving it away, but I'm actually not going to give it away. But I want you to know what the program is all about. And even if you decide that the program isn't for you or you don't have the time right now, I still want you to know or be aware of these steps, because awareness is honestly such a big part of this. And that kind of brings me to the first step, which is awareness or an understanding of the source of your pain. It is important to gain clarity on where the hurt originated. So I'm going to spend a little time here because this is really the step that I want to talk about today. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, I know the source of the pain, you know, my ex or soon to be ex or whatever cheated on me, or this person is an alcoholic and has an addiction, or this person is very abusive in their language towards me. And while you're absolutely right that kind of behavior, any of the things that I just mentioned, can cause a lot of pain and heartache, trauma, all of those things, we also have to look at how we ended up in this situation. And this is not about blame. This is not about saying it's your fault or you should have known better or any of those things. But often we have a pattern of beliefs, you know, in ourselves from our childhood, from previous experiences, other relationships, things like, you know, traumatic events in childhood, like bullying, moving a lot, constantly being in a new school, having to make new friends, maybe having a parent who wasn't able to be present with you because of their own mental illness, or any number of things can cause origin wounds like abandonment wounds, lack of self-worth, rejection wounds that are already inside you. Now, while we're children, we're pretty good at shoving those away and protecting, you know, in some way, so we don't feel the wound. And then we get into a relationship that isn't working well. Perhaps there is some kind of, again, a dysfunction, mental illness, something. And the wound starts getting triggered. We start feeling those really big feelings again. We don't understand where they're coming from. And we think the only source of the pain is the person who's standing there yelling at you, or who's doing something to you, or participating in behavior that is destructive to your relationship. And of course, that is an origin of pain in itself. I hear that. I get that. I know that. But it's important to understand if there's something underlying, and there usually is. So let's think about that a little bit. You know, if you were to look back, or even actually, you don't even have to look back. When you're going through these difficult moments, these fights, this thinking, this ruminating, what is the thought that keeps repeating and keeps running through your head? So they could be thoughts, like I said, of abandonment, you know, I'm going to be alone. No one ever wants to be with me. Those kinds of thoughts. When we find ourselves ruminating, that's what I'm going to call it, dwelling on, whatever you want to call it. I just don't want to say it in a way that makes it sound trivial or that you're doing something wrong, okay? What you're doing is completely understandable under the circumstances. And until you understand why you're doing it, you're not going to be able to really stop, right? So when we ruminate on things, and especially when we get really upset about something that in itself, all by itself, might not be that upsetting, that's when we know that we've triggered an older wound. You know, when you hear people say things like, oh, you're overreacting, it's not that big of a deal. Well, first of all, it's a big deal to you. So that's irrelevant what they say. But if you also know in your mind, like, why am I getting so upset about this particular moment or this fight? Why is this moment creating such a big reaction in me? Now, we can often justify, well, you know, it's been happening over and over again and, you know, whatever, all of those things. But it's important to look at yourself and say, like, why? Why am I so upset about this particular moment? And that's where we can find the origin wound. So, like I said, it can be an abandonment wound, rejection, abuse trauma, betrayal from way back. And then when this betrayal happens again, this wound goes, hey, you never healed me. You never dealt with what happened. You just pushed it away. And now I'm getting brought back up. So let's do something about it. That's why it shows up so big. That's why it kind of starts yelling at you like, hello. That's why you're so upset. That's why you can't let go. Plus, when we have been hurt repeatedly, we develop a negative story around our relationship or ourselves or both, about life, about circumstances. We develop this very fearful story of it happening again. Why is this happening to me? You know, those kinds of thoughts. And so we start dwelling on it. We start replaying it and replaying it and replaying it. And there's something about pain that wants more pain to feed off of it. Eckhart Tolle, in the book called A New Earth, explains it as the pain body. And he explains how the pain body actually becomes almost addicted to pain. It will keep looking for new pain. Why does it do that? As Eckhart Tolle explains in A New Earth, it is because the pain has become part of our identity. The trauma, the behavior, the betrayal, whatever it is, has become part of who we are. It's become part of our ego. And so our ego doesn't, in a way, really care if we're happy or sad. It cares about its identity. And as a child, perhaps, if you were traumatized in some way, whether it was by your parents or an event at school or whatever, it became somewhat part of your identity that you were bullied or you were neglected or you were abandoned. And that's what you identify with. So the ego will do anything to hold on to its identity, its purpose, if you will. And so now if you've decided that this is, you know, subconsciously, but this is who you've kind of decided you are, then it's going to feed off other pain to continue to stay alive, to maintain this identity of pain. So it can show up in phrases like, oh, you know, here I go again. If something bad is going to happen to anyone, it's going to happen to me. That's an identity. That's your ego saying that this is just what happens to you. This is the life that you live. You are someone whose bad things happens to, for example, right? So that's kind of how we know that we have identified with pain, and that's who we are. You know, you see it often in people who really struggle with whether it's poverty or illness or disability. But then you also meet people who have all those issues, but they don't talk about it. They seem happy anyway, and they find a lot of, you know, beautiful moments and blessings in life. Like, you see people within the same circumstances handle life completely differently. That has to do with how their ego identifies and whether or not you have a really active pain body or not. Okay. So that's one of the things that really is a big part of how we step into the Healing Heart program, is to understand the origin of what we're feeling and how we're identifying with it. Because once we see it, like a really big part of letting go of it is understanding what it is and becoming aware of it. And now you can separate it from who you are. You can see it as a, you know, as the state of being that you can actually stop, right? So that is the first step. That is the first thing that we will be doing, is identifying that. So I want to move forward and let you know about the other steps as well. So step number two is understanding now. Now you found this origin, so understanding how this origin wound is showing up now, today, in your current relationships, in your current life, and for you to hear that your story is what will tell you how it's showing up. So your version, what is your narrative, right? About your life, about yourself, about your experiences, about how things happen to you. What's your story? And this is where it's really important to become truthful about who we are, how we tell our story, how we think of ourselves, how we see ourselves, and also how much of that is actually true or not. I know when I've worked in coaching groups like this before, one of the exercises that I give my clients is to write down some limiting beliefs, some negative or limiting beliefs that they have about themselves or about life, and that they believe to be true. And then I give them a challenge of like releasing them. Like, now I want you to cross out all the ones that you realize when you look at them are not actually true. It's just a belief that you hold. And if you won't cross it out, you have to prove to me, excuse me, that it's true. You have to prove to me and convince me that there is no way that you can avoid negative experiences, because that's just what life has decided that you're supposed to have, right? So it's an interesting exercise. It's really eye-opening. So I'm looking forward to doing that work with you. But it's really important to understand how we are adding to the story itself. Number three, step number three, is identifying the victim or the victim mentality or the identity that we have as a victim in our stories. So it's kind of a continuation on number two. And then it's really important to empower the victim and reminding yourself that you can actually be free of this. Now, I actually hesitated to use the word or the phrase victim mentality as I was explaining this to you, because I know there can be so much negative narrative around that, and I'm not a victim, but let's face it, we've all been victims. We're all victims throughout our day sometimes. Like every time we say, oh, why do these bad things happen to me all the time? That's a victim mentality. That's how quickly it slips in. It doesn't mean that you're a constant victim or that you're some kind of a weak person. This is not at all what I'm saying. It just means that we need to learn, again, to identify when we do that, to become aware of this thinking so that we can separate it from who we want to be and get rid of it, right? That's what we want to do. So then we move into step number four, which is to release the story and free the victim, right? So exactly what I just said, it is about gaining awareness and clarity around it so that we can, and we can, now we're going to decide which story we want to hold on to and which ones we don't want to hold on to. And again, this requires a lot of honesty. It can be really hard to let go of a story that you've carried with you your whole life, that you've believed because you were maybe taught that story by your parents. So you've, the story is just kind of part of who you are. That's at least what you think it is. So to let go of it's going to feel really hard because it's very familiar. And even though you might not like the story, you like the comfort of it. It's the familiar, you know, is what you know versus what you don't know. And we tend to fear what we don't know, whereas we tend to be okay with awful but familiar instead of new and potentially scary, right? So this is a tough one. This is where a lot of the work comes in. And this is where, as a group, we can really work together to empower each other, to give us, you know, each other tools, to give each other, like, even be accountability partners for each other, or simply just support, like just someone to reach out to say, like, hey, I am getting pulled on big time by my old story today. And being around people who understand exactly what that means, because we're all on this journey together. It's just so important. And then that moves us into step number five, which is, I mean, now it really gets fun, right? We're going to write a new story. Like once we let go of the old one, we see it and it'll show up again every now and then, but you'll be aware of it. So it's okay. But now we're going to write a new story. And again, if you've listened to me at all in the past and older episodes, you know, I'm all about creating that new life for yourself. That's what I want to do here with you. I want you to feel empowered and confident and able and excited about creating a new life for yourself, one that is about you, the one that really is aligned with your heart and soul and what you believe in and your values and who you really are, not necessarily who you think you are or who you think you're not, right? So this is when we start having fun, and this is when you become kind of free to like write your new story, or to, you know, you feel free to live a life on your terms, or you feel free to start thinking and feeling a little differently about things in life. You start to feel free to be happy again. You feel free to live life on your terms. And that kind of moves us into step 6, where we really start inviting in this life, like new people in our life, maybe a new love interest, or it could be a new career or new opportunity, or maybe moving to a different country, or just doing things you never thought you'd do. But now you're free and you're open to bring all this in. So those are the steps of healing the heart. And I am so excited to go on this journey with you. And I hope that these steps make sense to you in a way that makes you want to come on this journey with us as well. The problem is, as we go through this, and this is, you know, this is why I'm running this program. The problem is that when you start inviting in new life partners or new experiences before you've released your old stories, before you've identified the old beliefs and patterns and the old ego identity that you've been kind of carrying with you all these years, before you've really understood the way you are, you're going to end up, like, if you don't understand it and see it and don't have an awareness around it and know how to let go of it and know how to identify it when it shows up, you'll keep repeating. That old story will creep back in because your ego is stubborn. Your ego is strong. It does not want to let go of its identity. Its entire life, if you will, depends on this identity that has been created. So that's what feels safe. Even if it's a negative identity, the ego will not let go of its identity. You can give it a new one. You can give your ego a new identity that is strong and capable and fun and adventurous or whatever, wealthy, prosperous, loving, all of those things. But you have to let go of the old one. And the ego's going to fight you. This is when I've said before, it's like your mind just plays these games, these tricks on you, because it will pull you back. It's like when we set a weight loss goal and we want to lose 25 pounds, and you know that you have to eliminate snacking and evening eating, for example. You know, these are the things, that the pitfalls that just stop you from losing those last pesky pounds. And for the most part, you're really good. And then you just can't resist. Like, you just totally fall off the wagon. It's like your brain just keeps like walking you to the fridge or walking you to the cupboard, or doesn't stop saying, come on, come on, just one treat, just one snack, just one whatever. Why do we do that to ourselves when ultimately what we really want is to lose the weight and feel healthy and feel good about ourselves, and we want to be successful, but it keeps pulling us back? It's because our identity is attached to who we used to be still. We have to release the identity, okay? So this is why we repeat patterns. This is why we fall off the wagon. This is why we're unsuccessful in the things that we try to do that are different from what we have always done. It's not because, well, it's just who I am, I guess. I just don't know how. Nope, it's just who you think you are. And you will always continue to be who you think you are. So we need to think differently. And that is what the healing heart's all about. So often when this becomes obvious or apparent to people after divorce specifically, is when you start inviting in new romantic partners, you start dating. And if you haven't released the old story, suddenly you end up in a similar pattern. Maybe this person seems really nice or seems really different at first. But then before you know it, you realize you have just fallen for a different type of dysfunction, a different type of abusive behavior, a different way of gaslighting or something. But suddenly there it is again. But because it's familiar and is what you're used to and is what you identify with, the red flags are there, but you push them away. You don't go running because it's not like, whoa, what was that? It's like, oh yeah, there's that feeling again, but it's familiar. So you identify with it and you let it slide and you push it away and you ignore the little hairs in the back of your neck standing up. And before you know it, you're in love with someone who's not good for you. And then you have to go through it all over again. And then you start beating up on yourself all over again. And through that entire experience, all you're doing is feeding and nurturing the pain body of the ego, the pain identity that the ego has always held on to. We need to break the pattern. You know, it's like that insanity saying, like, it's like banging your head against the brick wall and expecting the same brick wall or whatever and expecting different results. I feel like I'm saying that very wrong, but hopefully you know which one I'm referring to. The thing is, you're expecting things to be different just because you're with a different person. And while they might be different, you aren't, not yet. You're still looking for the same things, the same confirmations, and that's your ego that's looking, by the way. It's not your heart. And that's one of the things that I really want to teach you, is to evaluate life, people, make decisions, choices from your heart, not from your head. In other words, you're making them from your heart and your intuition and your inner guidance, which will never lead you wrong, instead of making them from your ego, who is much more like yelling in the background there if you can hear them better, but they're just trying to pull you back into old patterns. So when we end up in another relationship that ends up not being good for us, it's because we're still looking for the same confirmation of that old identity. We still have the same wounds that we're dealing with. We still feel the same voids, the same emptiness in certain places. And we're going kind of back into looking for people to fill them up in the way that we're used to having people fill them up. So they seem right, but they're not. They seem right because they're familiar. Their way of behaving in the way that they make you feel is familiar, and that feels right for a while. I've often said to women, actually, as they start dating, if you find yourself like on the first or second date thinking, oh my God, we have so much in common, and it's just like I felt like I was just so at home with him, that might actually be a red flag in itself, only because it might mean that there's something there that is so familiar, but not in a good way. That doesn't mean that this person's a bad person, but it just might mean that they're a bad fit for you. But just that doesn't mean you never go out with them again. It just means you need to go with more awareness, right? So we need to make sure that we're not looking for people, for example, that are too familiar and too much the same as what we're used to. And that can go for friends too, by the way, or places we choose to work, or just experiences that we choose to have in general. You know, one of the things that I did when I was coming out of my divorce, which was very, very scary, but I wanted to meet new people. And it was like this, again, this was my inner guidance that was telling me to do this. It was like I was shocking my system with new people, doing things in front of new people and with new people that I'd never done before that felt super scary and different. And as a result of that, I met people who were completely different from anyone I'd ever spent time with before. And it taught me so much about me and about the kind of people I want to have in my life and the kind of people I don't want to have in my life. And I'm talking about all people, not just, you know, as a romantic partner. And some of the things that can really kind of shock your system is like, taking a course with people you don't know, going on a trip with people you don't know, picking up a hobby or going on to a meetup, a hike or something in your neighborhood with people you don't know. It's opening your experiences and your mind to new experiences, to new adventures, to different things. Now, you might also discover, like, I don't like doing that, or I don't like being around those specific people. That's fine. But by shocking your system, you start to really learn, like, half the learning of what you don't want is, of course, learning what you do want, right? So really open your mind to trying new things and spending time with people you never thought you'd spend time with in other, like normally, right? This is the time to step out of the box. This is the time to be adventurous in every area of your life. Try new foods, try new restaurants, go to movies you never would have gone to before, or go and do things that you just never did with your ex because they never wanted to do it, for example, or it just wasn't something that the two of you did. Well, maybe it's time to try it. And I know that's, you know, that's one thing I've really seen in the retreats that I run. For a lot of these women, first of all, the fact that I offer a retreat gives them a safe way to travel, but it's really scary for them to travel. And the reason they have such a transformational experience when they come to the retreats, I mean, there's a whole bunch of reasons, but one of them is because they've stepped so far out of their comfort zone that they're kind of like out in the open now. And so any experience is going to have an impact. And because the experience is nurturing and safe and positive and loving, they have a really positive experience and they discover things about themselves. They learn that they are capable of adventure, that they like adventure. And adventure doesn't mean like crazy hand gliding, throwing yourself off bridges and bungee cords and stuff like that. It means that simply the adventure could simply be, I went on a solo vacation with people I didn't know, you know, to a place I'd never been before. That's an adventure. Or when I was there, I did things I've never done before. Like I meditated. I went on ziplining. I spent time with people I've never met and opened up to them. And I was there for them. Those are all new experiences. So that's one of the things that retreats do for people. And you will also have that experience jumping into a course like this, because you might be thinking, I'm not comfortable opening up to strangers, to talking to people. I don't think I want to be on Zoom sharing my life with a bunch of strangers. Well, if you've never done it before, you don't know what it's going to be like. It might feel really scary, but that might just be the shock to your system that you need. I'm just saying. Okay. So, you know, in order for us to change our lives and to feel better, you know, that's why you're here. That's why you're listening. You don't like the way you're feeling and you want to feel better. And I want to feel better too. Because I've been struggling a bit lately. There's been stuff going on in my life that, you know, just hasn't felt great. And I'm doing all of this work on myself all the time. And the thing that I always fall back to is I want to feel different. So how do I do that? Well, I go through these steps, but fundamentally, in a nutshell, I mean, I've said it before, I have to become aware of what my thoughts are because my thoughts cause my feelings and my feelings drive my actions and my actions, of course, cause my results. So how I feel in my life. So if I want to feel differently, I want to experience life differently, I want my results to be different, I need to change my thinking, which will change how I feel, which will change what I do, and that will change my life. It can be the tiniest thing. It's like the book that Joe Dispenza wrote, Breaking the Habit of Being You. That's how you change your life. If you want it to be different and feel different tomorrow, you have to change something today. If you just keep doing what you've been doing every single day, nothing will change. That I can promise you. You must think differently about yourself, your past, your childhood, your future, who you are, how you do things, who you want to be with, and what you want those relationships to look like. It is not good enough to just want to be different. It's not good enough to just say it. You have to do things. You have to step into it. It can be big. It can be small. We cannot control how other people choose to live their lives, how they choose to treat us, the things that they choose to do, how kind or how mean they are. We cannot control any of those things. We can't control what they think of us. That is outside of our domain. We can only control our own thoughts and our own feelings, the words that we speak and the things that we choose to do and how we choose to treat ourselves. Let's start there with the things that we can impact. Let's start by thinking differently about ourselves and about life and about relationships. Let's start feeling differently by doing that. Let's start making different choices and living our lives in a different way that is more aligned with how we really want to live our lives, how we deserve to live our lives, the way that we were always meant to. So I'm going to wrap up this episode here, and I'm hoping that I will see you in Healing the Heart. We get started on May 13th. We're going to go for 6 weeks, and you'll get all those details from me, and there's more details on the website as well, of course, and the link for that is below in the show notes. But I hope that you have gotten a handle on the journey that we're going to go on together from this episode. And even if, like I said, this course isn't for you and you're just not ready to jump into something like that, or this isn't the right time for you, that's fine. I hope that you got something from today. I would love to hear from you. You can share this episode on Instagram and tag me. My Instagram handle is below. It's Elizabeth with an S, by the way, Elizabeth Joy 444. Please share what you took away from this episode. Tag your friends who you think might need to hear it. Subscribe, please subscribe, and leave me some stars, leave me some comments. I really want to hear from you, because this podcast is for you. And if it's not resonating with you, I need to know. And if it is, I also need to know, because then I know what to build more content around. So I look forward to hearing from you. And until next time, have the most beautiful day. And I hope to see you in the Healing Heart.